The longest-running off-road and action motorsports radio show on the planet is coming to you live with the biggest guest in motorsports. Here is the only man on the planet who can pack this much dirt slinging and tire slaying into 2 hours a week. Sit back, strap in, and be prepared to get your ears blown. Here is Jim Beaver and the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Welcome to this week's Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Got a fun one today, doing it up NHRA style, and I got a couple of special guests joining me here in just a few minutes in the studio. But yeah, Robert Height and Andrew Hines, couple of NHRA champs, one in Pro Stock Bike, one in, I almost said Top Fuel, one in Funny Car. They're going to be joining me today. We've also got Tiffany Stone, who is calling in, well, on her way back from the L.A. Auto Show. She was on site taking in all the latest and greatest in the automotive industry. Yeah, she will be on the show as well. But joining me here in just a few minutes in the studio, a couple of good friends of mine, Mia Chapman, you know her. She's been a former guest here. The youngest Red Bull athlete on four wheels. That is a female. Mia will be here in studio along with her good friend, Jesse Owens. Jesse, if you remember, she has been a guest on the show back to Reno when she won there in the kart division there in the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series. We had her on the, I think it was the Off-Road Edition podcast. But they're in Parker, Arizona today. Both of them stopped by the studio, and you know what? They are going to be locked, loaded here right on the show. So, man, it is going to be a fun one today. We got a lot to talk about. I got a book delivered here to the studio that I want to talk about. Yeah, a book. We're going to talk about books here on the show. Yeah. Never know what's going to happen. But, man, there's going to be a whole lot going on. I'm getting ready to go to the PRI show next week in Indianapolis. So if you're going to be out there, make sure and swing by, say hey. Drop me something on social media and let me know you're going to be out there. Would love to meet up with some of you fans. And by the way, we've been killing it on iTunes recently. So please go over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button, helps us out. Please leave a rating as well or a review if you really want to feel good. But yeah, we are locked and loaded today. Five guests, I guess, man. Every single segment, we are locked and loaded. Mia Chapman, Jesse Owens. We got Tiffany Stone, Robert Height, Andrew Hines. Man, does it get any bigger than that? Five people packed into 2 hours here on the show. I don't know if it does, but you're going to have to search a long ways before you find one as good as you're going to have today. So we are going to get things fired up right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, right after we take this short commercial break.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you, but you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Ford WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, Ford WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to Ford WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at FordWP.com.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Got a couple of special guests joining me in the studio today. Mia Chapman, Jesse Owens, both of you have been guests on the show before, but I don't know, you were actually here, not on the phone this time, in Parker, Arizona. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
All right, so I know we got a lot to talk about in regards to next year, but I know, Mia, you were supposed to be out here. We're supposed to be testing your UTV this weekend, and things didn't quite go to plan, but I know you got some big plans for 2020, right?
Yeah, for sure. We've been doing short course for a long time now, so this next year we're going to switch it up and try something a little different, but it should be fun.
So I know, you're switching things up. You're going a little bit desert racing. I got to ask you, have you ever been in a desert car before? I mean, in race conditions, you ever ridden with anybody, or is this kind of being thrown to the wolves here?
Yeah, no, this will kind of be like thrown to the wolves here. We've done like a few short best in the desert, like the UTV world and stuff like that, but yeah, it's going to be totally new, but I'm really excited.
And Jesse, I know we had you, right after Reno. You had that big win up there in Reno. We had you on the show, but what's the plans for you? You still staying with short course this year?
No, we're going to kind of go the same route as Mia. Hopefully run a couple best of desert races and maybe a 1,000 or a turbo, just depends on what car. And then I'm going to move up to Works in a Razor 570 and try and get some wins there.
Well, I know we were talking about Works earlier, I think, at breakfast, and Works is like, that's insane. Like, yeah, I think short course is intense, but like Works, you take a short course race and you like double the length of it. And it's like, I mean, that's like 100% mashed, foot on the floor. Like, I don't know. It's pretty wild to go out and watch one of those races.
Yeah, for sure. I've seen a couple of the races, like videos of people, and we went to one of them, and it's crazy to watch just how technical the tracks are, but I think it'll be good for me to learn something different and to try it, so it's more people to race with and more ways to get your name out.
Yeah. Well, Mia, going back to you, I know this year was kind of an interesting year for you guys. I know you've been doing the karting thing for a long time, making the move up to UTV. I know things didn't quite go to plan the way you wanted them to this year, but how was the first year of experience in the UTV? I mean, what's the biggest differences in that? I mean, I guess probably one of the big ones was you're moving to something that was four-wheel drive, right, from the two-wheel drive mod kart you were racing?
Yeah, so pretty much I've been racing karts ever since I started racing, so that's pretty much all I knew. And so this last year I aged out, and we moved into the UTV class, so it's a pretty big jump. We did a little bit of UTV stuff when I was about 12, so I was excited to get back into it, but it was totally different. This year has been a roller coaster, to say the least, but I've learned so much, and I think it's just going to benefit me, and we had a lot of ups and downs, but all in all, it was a pretty crazy year, but looking forward to this next year.
So, well, I got to ask, too. I know you and Seth Quintero are good friends. I know you posted up pictures of you guys, but now you're going to be, like, going head-to-head in NA yeah. class in the desert. How is that going to work?
Yeah, competitors now. It's going to be different, but I think we're both going to kind of push each other in a sense. So I think it'll be good for the both of us, and, you know, we're both teammates, so I mean, whoever wins, I think it'll be good. But
yeah, you've been like poking the bear a little bit, like sending him text messages, like coming for you, Seth.
Oh yeah,
nice. I know Seth; he'll talk trash back too.
Oh, he totally does.
Nice. So I know, obviously, we got I guess Parker 250. Both of you'll be racing out here in Parker. I'm starting to think we're like literally only 1 month away from the first race of 2020. It's kind of crazy to think about it. Like 2020 is here. Like so, you'll both be out here in Parker. I know. I don't know. We're going to be able to get you guys sneak out there to the desert and get some pre-running done, I think.
yeah, that's the plan.
Find the sneaky lions.
Oh, yeah.
So all that being said, I know, you know, you guys have traveled out here to Parker, but, you know, we got Christmas is upon us. I got to ask, like most kids, you know, your age, like they're probably asking for electronics, all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, what's on the Christmas wish list here?
New 570, like redone with different colors and stuff, like a works car for next year. So that would be like my Christmas list, just that.
Your Santa's got some deep pockets, I
think. I know.
Oh, just wait till you hear mine. Dad's not gonna like this one, but here's mine: a Ford Raptor. I just started driving, so that's like the ultimate Christmas wish.
Well, I do know, and we'll put Dad on the spot here, right? Like, we just got you a deal with Rigid Industries, and they offered to outfit your truck with light bars. So, you've got the light bars, so you just need the truck, right?
Oh, heck yeah.
Ford Raptor. I want to meet your guys as Santa Claus.
Me too.
He needs to come visit my house, I think. Oh, man. So, you know, I don't know. You guys made this 3.5 hour, 4 hour car ride here. Like, I hear that, Mia, you're saying you're the one that always gets made fun of. What's a car ride with you guys like? I gotta ask this because, like, you got your two dads in the car and you two in the back seat. So, what does a car ride look like?
All right. Well, it depends if we get Starbucks first.
Yeah, that.
You gotta get the caffeine going.
For sure.
But if not, the first hour,
it's a little rough.
So you guys are both like caffeine-aholics. So I got a feeling. So you start out with Starbucks and then immediately switch to Red Bull. Like you're probably a train wreck by 5 o'clock.
Jumping off the wall. Yeah.
Really?
Pretty much.
Your dad makes you go. You're sleeping in the garage tonight. Is that one of those? Yeah. So what happens if you don't get Starbucks? If you guys don't start out the day with Starbucks?
It's a rough day.
Yeah, it's a rough day.
do they have like one of those in the truck? Do they have like one of those partitions like the limousines where they just roll the window up behind them?
They should.
I'm just so kidding. We wouldn't have to listen to them either.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Throwing the dads in the bus. Meanwhile, you just asked for a new 570 and then you throw the dads under the bus. Like... I don't know what direction this is going. Like,
disturbing our sleep time.
Yeah.
Go listen to them talk the whole time.
Oh, man. So what's the rest of this month look like? Obviously, you guys first race couple of weeks away. I know we were supposed to be testing this weekend. Things got a little bit of a hiccup. We're going to come back. We're going to do some testing. But, you know, what's the game plan here? I mean, you know, you guys a little bit nervous about this transition to doing some desert racing? I mean, you know, it's a little bit different than what you guys are used to.
Yeah, I feel like this next season, like, really creeped up on us pretty fast. And we just got a new car, so we're just focusing on getting everything dialed in there. But, yeah, I'm excited. I'm really nervous. But I feel like once we get the first race under our belt and a little more experience, it'll...
I feel like this is a good race, too, because, like, I feel like if, you know, you're, like, going to debut at something like Vegas Torino or something like that, like, that's pretty... Like, that's a big undertaking. I feel like this, though, it's, like, it's 80-mile laps, but, you know what I mean? It's a little bit shorter. Like, you know, there's a pit stop in between at, like, 30 or 40-mile mark, something like that. I feel like this is a pretty good transitional race. And I know, like, with you, too, it's, like, you know, you're going to be running this shorter race. It's, like, 15-mile loops. I feel like this is, like, a good stepping stone race from, like, short course, what you're used to maybe into desert racing. You know, it's not, like, full-blown Baja 1000
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, just thrown into the deep end. But, yeah, I don't think it'll be good for the both of us. I actually ran the short course track a couple years ago in my NA car, so... this year, we're running the full big course, so it should be fun. I think I'm going to learn a lot, and it'll be a good experience.
You're practicing on your tire changes.
Yeah, got to get that down.
I'm going to say, like, tires, belts, like, you're going to have to do your homework here before.
I know, totally different from short course. Like, there is no pit stops, or if you brake, you brake.
You're done.
But, now we kind of got to learn to work on our own stuff. And
I think you guys are getting, like, a pair of mechanics gloves and a lug wrench for Christmas. I think that's like the more realistic expectation here. So, I know we got to cut to a break here. But I know we got Jesse and Mia hanging out here. So we're going to cut to a short commercial break in a few minutes. I got to talk when we come back, too, about a book that I got dropped in the mail. So we're going to talk about that when we return here to the show. Yes, I got a book in the mail. Why would I be talking about that on the national radio show? Well, you got to tune in and find out. So we'll be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Are you looking for a place to push yourself behind the wheel and see how your driving skills stack up? Dirtfish Rally School is that place. Located on 315 acres of pristine automotive playground at the foot of the Cascade Mountains in Snoqualmie, Washington, right outside of Seattle, Dirtfish Rally School is a one-of-a-kind place where everyone from first-time drivers to seasoned professionals like Bucky Lassick and Antoine Lestage can push themselves to their limit. Whether driving the high-performance, rally-prepped, all-wheel drive Subaru Impreza STI is what you're looking for, or you'd rather hang it all out in the rear-wheel drive Subaru BR. Dirtfish Rally School has something for everyone. Classes are available from 2 hours to three full days and feature instructors with over 150 years of combined racing experience. Whether you're looking to become the best and get an edge on the competition, or just looking to freshen your skills behind the wheel, Dirtfish Rally School is the place to go. For more information on registering for classes, visit Dirtfish on the web at dirtfish.com, or to check out the latest happenings from Dirtfish, follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Dirtfish Rally.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, as we've got Jesse Owens and Mia Chapman in studio with me. But before we get back to them, got to give a plug to one of our partners here, our good friends at iRacing. You know, race online from the comfort of your own home against competitors from all around the world. iRacing brings a competition to NASCAR, IndyCar, IMSA, World of Outlaws, Rallycross, and now the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series directly to you. Take on the top ovals, road courses, and dirt tracks around the world, from Daytona to Nürburgring to the Chili Bowl. Compete with iRacers from around the globe in everything from pickup races to league races and even world championships. Use the promo code PR-JimBeaver for 50% off a new subscription for 3 months at iRacing.com/membership. Sim racing is iRacing. We will see you at the track. And yeah, we gotta put you guys on the spot. You guys play video games at all? You ever done iRacing, the sim racing at all?
I used to when I was younger. Yeah, I really liked it.
You liked it? So what games do you used to play? Are you used to do, like, sim racing, iRacing?
I don't remember. It was some, like, trophy truck, and then we had the like, a steering wheel and stuff. We used to practice on tracks and stuff. It was pretty cool.
Nice. We need to get you into iRacing. And they legitimately have, like, we're actually in the process. I can't even say this online, but we're actually putting together, because I've got this entire esports team with, like, 15 drivers on my roster, and they compete in world championships. So Lucas has Wild West Motorsports Park, and then they've got Wild Horse Pass in their sim racing, and they're actually getting in the process of adding Crannon to it, and then eventually Bark River. So there's going to be like four tracks, and they're actually going to have a world championship at some point. But like, these kids are competing for, like, I don't see kids, some of them are like 40 years old, but like they're competing for like 20 grand in cash money playing these sim racing video games.
What?
So
that's crazy.
Yeah, like the NASCAR one, I think it was a $100,000 purse on the eNASCAR last year. So you guys are gonna have to reassess your driving virtual race cars. I'm telling you, that's where it's at. So you've actually been to Red Bull HQ. I've seen their esports center. Have you walked into that room?
Yeah, I've been in there. It's so cool. Like, that entire place is just so rad. But yeah, the first time we went, we saw the simulator kind of thing and got to, you know, play around on that a little bit. So that was fun.
Yeah, no, yeah, like you said, Red Bull HQ is crazy. Like, the first time I walked in there, they've got like it's almost like a skateboard ramp, this wave that goes through, and like they've got like a Dakar motorcycle there. I think, is a Formula One car still there?
I didn't see it last time, no.
No, they had a Formula One car kind of towards the back at the end of the, I don't even know what you call that, like a wave, a skate ramp, like it's kind of weird that goes through the building. It's, I don't know, but yeah, it's just a rad place. I know they've got, like, the cryo chamber, too. Like, I don't know if they've got that still. Have you ever been in one of those, the cryo chamber?
No, I kind of want to, though, but I don't know. Yeah. Kind of nervous about it.
No, when I was there, Colby was showing me everything. That's when he was with Red Bull, and I was like, well, I want to get in that. He's like, oh, that's for athletes. I'm like, all right, throw me under the bus, Colby. Like, so you're an athlete. You need to walk in and be like, all right, I want to use my cryo chamber.
That'd be an experience.
Yeah, I'm not joking. So, No, yeah, so I don't know. I do have to mention this book, though, before we get rolling any farther. So my good friends sent me, I get, as a radio host, I get these books sent to me once in a while. Sometimes they're not so good. Sometimes they're great. I had Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s book sent to me, but this comes out in about a week. It's called The Lost Story of the Original Speed King, in his own words, the story of Mickey Thompson. So I've got this book sitting here. It's thick, hardcover, but it's got a ton of these crazy old off-road pictures and stuff like that. So I am looking forward to reading this thing. I just got it last week. I can't tell if it's good or bad, but it's Mickey Thompson. It's got to be good. But those of you tuning in, definitely it's available, you know, bookstores starting next week, as well as Amazon.com. Make sure and go and check it out. Grab a copy. I mean, if you're listening to this show, you're probably a race fan. So and you're probably an off-road fan. I'm assuming Mickey Thompson is going to be right in your wheelhouse. So brand new book, his original words, story of Mickey Thompson, lost story of the original Speed King, Mickey Thompson. Go and grab it in bookstores and at Amazon.com. Putting you guys on the spot, when was the last time you read a book? That wasn't a school book, like actual book.
Oh.
maybe my freshman year, and I'm a senior now, so.
This is bad. Like, no Harry Potters, no, like, even, oh, no. You don't like Harry Potter? Neither of you?
No. Oh. They're so long. I just get, like, sidetracked. Yeah,
you guys watch the movies at all?
Yeah. Like, I mean, no, not the movies.
Yeah, not really.
Like, I mean.
So, you guys don't read books. What is your favorite movie based off of books? Well, let's go that route. Maybe we can at least somewhere get close. You guys watch movies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what's your favorite movie?
Talladega Nights.
Ford
vs.
Ferrari.
Ford vs. Ferrari and Talladega Nights. Okay. All right. I actually haven't seen Ford vs. Ferrari yet.
Oh, it's
seen
so
Talladega
good.
Nights a bunch of times. That's a crazy, yeah, Ford versus Ferrari. That's nuts. Like, just the whole story and everything else. It's, yeah, we haven't got it onto the show. Like, I've seen the original version of it, not like this new Hollywood one, so I know the story, but that's, yeah, we haven't really talked about it much on the show yet, just because I haven't actually seen the movie in theaters, but good stuff, huh?
Very. It's a really good movie, yeah.
Does it make you want to, like, go and be a road racer instead of an off-road racer?
Maybe. I mean, I still like the dirt, so. Yeah.
Maybe rallycross? I don't know. There's a combination of road racing and dirt there, rallycross.
That'd be a cool route to go, yeah.
Those are fun. I got to test a Red Bull Global Rallycross car a couple years ago, and that was just, like, hella fun. It was, like, they set up a parking lot with cones and everything else, and then they had a dirt section that brought in dirt, and it had a couple of dirt corners. It was, like, so much fun in those things. Like, it's like a go-kart that's all-wheel drive, and it's, like, I don't know, they were wild.
Seen some videos of those things are sliding around everywhere.
I have to drag you guys up to Dirtfish Rally School with me one of these times.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that place is a blast, and you can't really get into trouble there either. So it's like,
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It was funny, true story. So I was up there. This was 3 or 4 times ago, and I was taking some training, and one of the instructors, his wife had never been behind the wheel of a rally car, and he's actually one of the instructors there. And so he bought her for Christmas a 3-day class. And so it just happened, I was taking the class or one of these classes. And so they throw her in. And when I go up there, I've been through all of them. So I just kind of drop in day here, and then I'll go and do some business, drop in another day. So the day I dropped in, she was actually taking classes, and I knew her. And there's this one corner, and we start laughing and everything. And, like, literally, it's this really sharp hairpin corner, and they've got all these berry bushes in the back. And they're, like, when I say in the back, I'm talking, like, way 30 feet away. There's concrete barriers, and there's, like, a wash there. And I was like, what do you have those concrete barriers for? You know, and they're like, oh, yeah, so somebody doesn't go in the wash. And I'm like, has anybody ever been close? And they're like, no, you'd have to be, like, really out of control to do that. And so we're all laughing about it. I'm like, yeah, I see that. So here comes his wife, and he's in there with her, and she blows this corner, and she got within, like, 2 inches of concrete barrier, and there's a cliff and berry bushes and all that. And, like, he could tell they were, like, scared to death, and then all of a sudden they get out of it. They get out of the car, and he's shaking his head, and then they start laughing. I'm like, what were you guys saying about nobody's ever gone that – like, it was so far away, and it was just, like, I don't know. I don't know how we even talked about it, but it was – yeah. They actually had, like, you guys know how to drive stick shift, I'm assuming, right?
I haven't learned it yet.
Yeah, me either.
You haven't driven? I thought, like.
I mean, mod carts, we shift, but.
Yeah, I was like, you have clutches in mod carts, right?
I've done it on like rollers before, but I've never like driven it like outside of like on a track before.
Yeah, they had a 90-year-old lady that went to Dirtfish. She'd never driven stick shift in her life, and she was 90. And she decided at 90 she wanted to learn how to drive a stick shift and slide a car. And so this 90-year-old lady went to Dirtfish, and they taught her how to drive a stick and slide a car in the same day. And like, there's these videos of this, like, this old, this grandma, and she's literally like just pinning this rally car.
Wow.
It's like the greatest thing ever. But like, I'm pretty sure if they can get her driving stick shift like you two, it wouldn't be much of a problem at all. Let's hope.
Yeah, let's hope. Never really know with us.
I mean.
So what is this podcast? We just during the break we hatched this idea. You guys are going to start your own podcast, right? Is this what would you guys talk about on the Mia and Jesse show?
That's a name.
probably for the most part racing.
Yeah, our life, I guess.
Yeah, like, our life. random things.
Yeah. Starbucks.
Of course.
Starbucks, like Red Bull.
Red Bull. Yeah. What drinks like to get? Yeah.
What drinks to get? What's your favorite flavor of Red Bull?
I like the coconut berry one.
Oh, coconut berry. I'm on board with that. How about you?
I like the peach nectarine one.
I haven't actually tried that one yet.
Oh, it's so good.
I love the seasonal ones that they come out with, like, because I think the kiwi started out as a seasonal, and then the coconut one, and then they had the blue one this last year, like Ocean Breeze or something.
That one's not too bad.
No, that one was really good.
But it seems like their seasonal ones are always like the best.
Yeah.
It seems like those things are awesome, and they're so good. I think they stick around as flavors with Red Bull.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
So we'd be talking about racing and Red Bull on the podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. how we're gonna figure out how to pay for our Ford Raptor?
I'm gonna say, like, I don't know your Christmas episode. I'm trying to think what a Christmas episode with you guys would be like.
That'd be a good one.
This would be too long.
So, is there anything that's actually attainable that's under $10,000 that's on your guys' Christmas list?
Yeah.
where are we at here?
I'm trying to think here.
Yeah, nothing under 10 grand.
We just want race cars, or cars.
Yeah, like most kids, like a laptop would be like the ultimate, right? You guys know it's like laptops. It's not even it's not even on the list.
Yeah, not really being considered at the moment. But.
It'd be nice if we were like, hey, can we get a new phone? Like, that's being nice. Yeah.
That's being nice.
You know, I actually just cracked the back of mine the other day.
Oh,
so, come
on.
Do you have your phone in a case?
And I didn't, but now I do. That's like the only thing holding it together.
Well, let me tell you, Mia, things are a little bit backwards here. You're supposed to put the case on before you drop the phone so it doesn't crack. You don't drop it, crack it, and then put the case on to hold the phone together. I think we need to go from a Raptor to a new phone for you.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll bring the cost down. Your dad might like me at the end of this deal. We'll keep bringing the cost down a little bit.
I still think the Raptor's at the top of the list. The phone's probably at the bottom.
Yeah.
You're going to get a Hot Wheels Raptor for Christmas.
Yeah, like the little, like.
Maybe a remote control one if you're lucky.
If I'm lucky.
Oh, man. I don't know where this interview's gone, but. All right. Well, me and Jesse, thank you guys for stopping by the show. I appreciate it. Tons of fun catching up. Once again, if you guys want to grab that Mickey Thompson book, check out Amazon.com. It drops next week. If you're listening to this, it's probably already out there. And we are going to take a short break. We've got Tiffany Stone calling in to talk LA Auto Show later on. We've also got Robert Height from John Force Racing, your funny car champ in 2019. He'll be on the show. And we've got... yes, Vance and Hines, Screaming Eagle, Harley Davidson rider, Andrew Hines. He's going to talk about what it's like to go 200 miles an hour on a pro stock motorcycle. All that and more coming back after the break here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing Anywhere is Possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and we're catching up with another NHRA champion, Andrew Hines. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, dude, I gotta give you props on your speech at the NHRA banquet. Not necessarily on the speech, but the green suit, man. I gotta say, you guys were slaying that. I mean, going a little bit. I love it at the NHRA banquet because I feel like a lot of people try and I don't know, come with a little bit different suits. I know Pritchett there for Steve Torrance, he comes with like a red kind of dazzly sparkle suit, but the green, man. How did that all get put together?
Just time to let loose. You know, you run a long season all year long and sporting the Harley colors all season long, and it's just time to let your hair down a little bit and have fun and mingle with the crowd. So it's a time to kind of let your true nature show.
Well, you know, and that being said, man, 2019, this was a crazy year for you guys, because I mean, let's talk about the beginning, because at one point, I mean, you guys were damn near perfect. I mean, you had kind of the dream season working in 2019. I mean, you guys came out swinging and never really let up.
Yeah, it was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, we kicked off the season with a brand new chassis, something we hadn't really proven. We tested a chassis very similar to what I rode this year last season when Chip Ellis rode for us in the countdown. But when we built my chassis this year, we changed up a few things a little bit more, and man, it was just it was absolutely phenomenal. We went testing before Gainesville, and it was running the 6.7 second zone almost every single lap. And you know, a lot of it's due to weather, but when the bike was that easy to ride, it just made it that much easier for me to get it down the track and put up big numbers and set the national record the first race, won Gainesville, which I hadn't done since my first event or my first national win back in 2004. So that monkey climbed off my back there, and it just made for a lot easier season. you know, especially after last year when I went winless and wasn't able to capitalize. I went to a few finals, just couldn't get that darn fourth win light. And then this year, it was just a flood of win lights. It was absolutely phenomenal with the way the Harley Davidson was running and just picking away round ones here and there, and had good luck on my side when I needed it. Then the bike would run good when we really, really needed it to.
Well, you know, and I want to go back to the chassis question. You talking about the chassis, because I feel like in NHRA, and I know, you know, in the other categories, it's the same way. Like, it's a bit of a crapshoot, right, going to a new chassis. Like, you know, long term, it's going to be faster, it's going to be better. But there's also some development work that goes into it until you get there. So I feel like sometimes, I mean, is it a bit of a crapshoot? Like, you really don't know going into the season. You know you've got the makings of a fast bike, but you know, until you actually line up there and go, you don't really quite know how you stack up, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, we kind of committed to that new chassis going into Gainesville and didn't even bring my old chassis with us to the test session. It was just one of those things like, okay, we just need to just commit to this, make sure it's good, and we'll find a way to make it fast. And we tried doing that a couple years ago when we first brought out the Harley street rod bodies, and we built a new chassis underneath that body and debuted that whole deal as a new chassis, new body package. And that did not work out well for us at all. That chassis that we built back then, it was just entirely too rigid, and it just wouldn't 60 foot very well. So you couldn't really make it do what you really wanted it to do. It would just bury the tire into the ground, and it didn't have enough flex to kind of let the bike do what it needed to do in the first 5 feet. So we built this new revision of chassis with the purpose, the mindset of, hey, let's build a little bit of extra flex into it. But there's also a trade-off. You can't have too much flex where it's trying to roll over on you when it sets the front wheel down at 400 feet down the racetrack, because that's what my old chassis would do. It would leave the starting line real good, hold the front end up for 400 or 500 feet, set the front tire down. Next thing you know, the handlebars are turned and I'm sliding towards the wall. But this chassis, we built everything perfectly symmetrical in the front end and built a little bit more flex into the rear half of the chassis. The problem there is we're not allowed to have rear suspension. So, you know, we have to let the tubes flex the way we want it to kind of to plant the tire and not bury the tire into the ground. It's a tightrope you got to walk on that aspect. But this bike worked really, really well. It would do exactly what we wanted to do in the first couple feet, and then it would ride perfectly straight down the racetrack. I don't think I've made as many good runs in my career as I did just in this season. So I mean, it was just the bike was going so well all season long.
Well, and you guys, not only the chassis, but it was like complete new, like you changed your Motec system too, right? Like it wasn't just a new chassis.
Absolutely.
Like you guys are like, ah, we're just gonna reboot the entire thing this year.
Yeah. People have been using the Motec M130 for years out here now. And we were probably some of the last people to switch over from the older M600 to the Motec M130. And when we did that, we also, since I'm a bigger guy, I needed to take a little bit more weight off the bike. So we took the race pack off as well and ran all the data acquisition into the Motec, because it's fully capable of doing that. So ran everything in there and, you know, running the NHRA software that has the limitations where, you know, you can't do traction control, things like that. They make sure you can't do things. So it worked out to our advantage where we could run the data acquisition system through that and take, you know, 3, 4, 5 pounds of race pack stuff off the bike, made the wiring harness a lot nicer, made the whole bike easier to work on. It's clean when you look underneath the seat, and it's just, you know, it's a one-stop shop. You got your fuel tuning, timing tuning, and all your data acquisition in one deal. You don't have to bounce around from program to program, and made for a little less headache between rounds when you got, you know, 30 minutes at the trailer to make your decisions for the next round.
Yeah. Well, and I want to ask one other question, too, about the team. I mean, this was a big year. I mean, Angel coming in, I know I interviewed her a couple of weeks ago here on the show. But how was that for you guys? I mean, here's been the team's arch nemesis for decades, you know, going back to your brother and now you, and now all of a sudden she's in the same camp, man. That I know. And she said you guys opened, you know, it was with open arms, you know, you welcomed her into the team, but that day one had to have been just a little bit odd. You know what I mean? Sharing, I guess, a shop with her.
Yeah, it definitely was a different situation. You know, it all started back around the PRI show last year in Indianapolis. We had her walking through the shop, and she said it felt really strange being welcomed into Vance & Hines. It was something she was not really set for. She thought we were bringing her here to offer and not give her an offer. but it was really cool having her on the team. Our first test session out there in Phoenix, it went really well. The whole team gelled with her really nice, and We've been friends in the past. It was a love-hate relationship. You know, we hated each other on the racetrack, but away from having our helmets on, you know, our kids would play together in the pit areas and do things like that, and we'd be talking. And, you know, it was a tolerable relationship over the years, but this year we grew to really become great friends. And it was a really fun year. You know, she brought a different level of excitement to our pit area, especially with having her family there. And, you know, it was not our typical weekends that we've had for years past with our Vance Tynes team, where we just have business as usual. It was fun to go out to dinner and laugh and joke and talk about old times and talk about the future. And it was great to see her have some success and get a couple number one qualifiers. I really wish we could have got her a win this year, but there's just some different learning on riding our Harleys. She's come a long way, but I think she's understanding what Eddie and I have had to go through over the years to make these bikes as fast as they get.
Well, you know, and that leads me to another point. I think, you know, I look at NHRA, and obviously we've got manufacturers involved, you know. But I feel like, you know, Top Fuel, Funny Car, it's kind of more of a branding exercise. With the bikes, I mean, this is real, you know. I mean, Harley's got a massive investment. I mean, this is real OEM warfare here. I mean, you know, like to me, it's just a little bit different situation with what you guys do than what the other, you know, with Top Fuel and Funny Car, what they're doing. And, Harley's investment, I mean, this is real. And this is like this is definitely a race on Sunday, sell on Monday situation.
Absolutely. You know, they have a tremendous support group for us there at Harley-Davidson. If we have any questions for engineering or marketing help, we got a bunch of people to rely on that side. And then they're always looking for the future on what we can do to our drag race team to correlate with exactly is on the showroom floor. So this year we brought out the FXDR. We've been working on that since before it was even announced a year ago to the public. So we were able to go do some cool test rides of the FXDR down at the Arizona Proving Grounds and get the touch and feel it before the general audience got to go see it. So it was a long process to get that bodywork done, but it's really cool to have Harley-Davidson invest in the class to make sure we have relevant motorcycles out there on the drag strip. So we're excited for what's going to come here in the next couple of years. And they got some cool stuff that they've been putting out for patents and things. So we might see some cool Harley-Davidsons come out here soon.
So got to put you on the spot. What Harley you got sitting in your garage, your personal garage, not the race shop?
I have a 2002 V-Rod. So it's a one bike that I got when I won my 2004 championship. And it was actually our pit bike at the time in 2003 and 2004. Still had the aluminum anodized bodywork. And then Performance Machine actually took it under their wing in 2005, did a full called a fat rod kit. So it's got a wide rear tire, a 280 rear tire on the back. And of course, we couldn't leave the engine alone, so we ripped the engine out here at Vance Tynes and built that up, and makes about 40 horsepower more than stock. And that's what I cruise around on whenever I find some time.
Yeah, so, you know, all this being said, obviously I know we're about a week out from PRI show, but looking forward to 2020, I mean, you guys obviously, once again, the ones with a target on your back, you know, what's the offseason look like for you guys? Obviously, I'm sure, the season's going to come quick, man. February isn't too far out, but, what's the offseason look like for you guys? And, what are you doing to prepare for 2020?
Man, off season's busy, and I'd hate to say it, but drag racing's kind of taking the second boat right now. We got our flat track team that needs to get out here and do some damage next season and get some wins. So it's kind of all hands on deck to get our flat track team up and going, get them where they're going to need to perform at the front. Got some interesting stuff that's going to be released, I think, this week on 2020 plans for that team. But we're also just getting to the point where we're releasing our production twins. I'm not sure if you follow American Flat Track Racing at all, but production twins are for sale now through Vance and Hines. So, we got our 30 employees here at our shop, and then we're all pulling our hair out trying to get these bikes built. Sooner or later, we'll throw the drag racing parts in the machine shop and figure out what we can do for next year. I already got some ideas and thoughts. My dad's already back in the porting room working on some new ports, and got Billy Godbolt at Comp Cams working on some new cams for us for next year. So it's not stopping, but it's just not going to progress as fast as we want because we've got too many irons in the fire right now.
Yeah, well, and, you know, flat track, you want to talk about OEM warfare, and I find it – I'm loving the resurgence that flat track has got in the United States, you know, the past 5, 6, 7 years. I mean, it's crazy, all the way down to the regional and local level and things like that. I mean, it's just exploding. But you want to talk about a race on Sunday, sell on Monday. I mean, flat track is where it's at right now. You guys have full-blown warfare going on there.
Absolutely. It's been tough here with our Harleys trying to compete out there with the Indians, and, you know, got Kawasaki's running around there fast. And it's obviously, like you said, it's a sell on Monday kind of sport. You know, those guys are out there racing on the weekends, finding time to race on the weekdays whenever they can. And, you know, our guys are working hard here trying to make sure our bikes can be up on the box here and have some Harley pride running through all the blood and veins of those Harley fans up there in the stands.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, for you, you know, kind of to close out, I mean, what – representing Harley, I mean, this is an iconic manufacturer, an iconic American brand. I mean, people think motorcycles, they think Harley-Davidson first. I mean, you know, what's it like for you to have that close relationship and be a factory Harley rider? Because, I mean, this is, you know, to me, this has got to be one of those dream jobs and one of the dream brands to work with, you know?
Yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, going to work doesn't suck. You know, working at Vance and Hines and knowing I get to ride for Harley-Davidson and just the history that I've had with the company, you know, I've raced for them for 17 years now, and I've seen a lot of people come and go over the years, but it's cool to still see the executives there that were there when I started my career, and especially, you know, hanging out with Willie G. It's strange to me, you know, people get all giddy and stuff when you see them at the racetrack and they're standing in line waiting for autographs, and he'll just walk right up to you and say, "Hey, there's my racers," and you know, going out to dinner with him and having a good time. It's like we're family. It's a really awesome deal, and been able to support drag racing for so long that they've been helping us for nearly 20 years now, and it's really cool to have that relationship going as long as it has been. And you know, sometimes you look back on it and, you know, maybe take it for granted, but you know, I look back on it and respect everything that we've done for them, everything they've done for us, and it's been absolutely phenomenal. I can't think of any other way I've wanted to spend my drag racing career.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, I appreciate the time, my friend. We're up against a time break, buddy, but congrats on the championship. And, you know, we'll definitely look forward to seeing what you guys have in store for us in 2020.
Yeah, 2020 will be exciting. Can't wait to get back out there and do some more damage.
And we'll be back with more after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing Anywhere is Possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Wrapping up hour number one. We got a big hour number two upon us. But, yeah, lots of fun having Jesse Owens and Mia Chapman swing on by the show. You never know, I don't know, when you have people in studio, it's kind of crazy. You never know what will happen when you got a couple of teenage girls in the studio with you, that's for sure. But Mia and Jesse, some shredders in the off-road community, and great to have them on the show. Kind of a little bit podcast style. So coming up hour number two, we got Robert Height for John Force Racing. He's going to be on the show. We've also got Tiffany Stone calling in from the LA Auto Show. We're going to catch up with her, find out what's the latest and greatest in the world of, I guess, automotive. But, yeah, so I do want to give a shout-out, though, to our – What am I going to give a shout out to? Sometimes I lose my train of thought mid-sentence there. But yeah, no, want to give a shout out to our iTunes accounts. Man, if you're tuning in nationally on AFN, thank you. But please go over to iTunes, hit that subscribe button to the show. Please leave a rating or a review. Much appreciated for everybody who does that. It definitely helps us quite a bit, actually. You know, keeps us right up there in the charts. And check out my other show, Project Action, on Podcast One. You never know what guests we're going to have dropping in on any given week there as well. This week over there, got a different interview with Tiffany Stone talking about LA Auto Show. Also got a good friend of mine, Dave Mason, betonline.ag. We're talking NFL football season, MMA, NASCAR, and a whole lot more over there on Project Action. So definitely check that one out. Give it a subscribe as well. Last week we had Sydney Goodman from IGN.com on the show. So yeah, a little mix of everything over there. And it's at JimBeaver15 on social media for those of you who want to follow along in the action. Make sure and tweet me too. Mid-show, I'm always taking tweets, finding out what you guys are talking about, and a whole lot more. So coming up in hour number two, like I said, we're going to kick things off. We got a double dose of Tiffany Stone talking LA Auto Show. We got Robert Height on the show. And you know what? I don't know. We may kick things off a little bit differently. Who knows what I'll talk about? Maybe I'll preview the PRI show. I got a lot going on at PRI. One of my favorite shows of the year there in Indianapolis. It's going to be nice and chilly and cold, but you never know quite what to expect there, you know, at PRI. So, yeah, we're going to probably talk that and then a whole lot more on hour number two right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands-down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Kicking off hour number two for those of you tuning in on the American Forces Network, as well as nationally on Sports Byline USA on 200 networks across the United States of America. That's right, America. And I had to get my little southern twang going on there when I said Merca. We got hour number two upon us. We're going to be talking LA Auto Show with Tiffany Stone. We've got Robert Height on air as well, your funny car champ in NHRA. And man, what a crazy NHRA season it was. Going down to the wire. That's why they have the countdown. That's why they've got this playoff format. Definitely proved itself well as things went right down to the wire. So going to be great to catch up with Robert Height. It's been almost exactly 1 year to the day since he's been on the show before. And I started thinking about this week and next week, right around our eighth anniversary. I don't know the exact date. So Obviously, we didn't call this our anniversary show, so maybe next week's got to be our anniversary show. I don't know. I kind of lose track of things after all this time on the air and all these amazing guests and interviews that we get to do on a weekly basis. So, I'm going to switch gears here. PRI show coming up in Indianapolis next week. Might be going on depending on when you tune into this online. I'm going to be out there in Indianapolis in the flesh. I'm actually sitting on two panels. So if you're PRI, make sure and check me out. I know on Friday, I'm going to be sitting on a marketing panel along with Matt Martelli. We've got Alex Striller, the amazing author that's a good friend of mine. We're going to be sitting on a marketing panel that talks about motorsports industry and things like that. So if you're at PRI, that's going to be from 10:30 to 11:30. You can go to PRI's website, get all the details on the room and such. And then on Saturday, I'm going to be sitting on another panel. That one's going to be from 8 till 9 a.m. with my good friends at RacingJunk.com. That one's going to be talking marketing, but it's going to be talking digital marketing and social media marketing. So, we've got a whole hell of a lot coming up the next couple of weeks here on the show. I know Christmas is upon us. Maybe we'll be talking about what we want to get under the Christmas tree. Guarantee it's not going to be as big as Jesse Owens and Mia Chapman, that's for sure. But, and those of you just tuning in, you missed that whole segment. You need to go back in and listen online, if you want to catch what I'm talking about there. But, I guess that's about all I got for this segment. So coming up after the break, it's going to be Tiffany Stone right here, and then we'll have Robert Height. Got any questions, suggestions, whatever, hit me up at JimBeaver15 on social media, and we'll be back after this right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands-down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, and you know, we're, I don't know, what are we, hour number two here on the show, and you know what that means? It's time for Tiffany Stone. Yes, she is hanging out fresh out of the L.A. Auto Show. And T-Stone, what is happening?
Not much. I'm going to give you a little heads up if you hear some cute little meows. I just picked up my new kitten. Obviously, a lot of people know that we had to put Swisher down about 2 months ago. So I took a red eye last night from LAX, landed in Detroit at 5:15, got home, slept for a few hours, left at 9 a.m., drove 3.5 hours north towards Traverse City. Now I'm on my way home with a brand new little ragdoll kitten.
That's friggin' awesome. And I know... I know Swisher, we kind of followed along on social media, and you and I, obviously, we talk off air a lot, you know what I mean? And that one hit close to home, and you've kind of filled yourself with being busy since that happened, but this has got to kind of, like, make you feel whole again, right?
Yeah, no, it really does, and, you know, it's just having this little kitten look up at you and all these things. I'm not going to even lie, Jim, you know, obviously, because she's only 9 weeks old. It's the first time she's been really taken away from her mother, which kind of broke my heart. But 10 minutes leading into this, I was like, you know, I forgot to bring her a litter box, blah, blah, blah. She pooped on me. And, like, the thing is, like, I'm not even mad about it. Like, I just stopped at Dollar General, got some kitty litter, got some, like, wipes, cleaned off, took off my scarf and all the other stuff, and then threw it in the trunk or whatever. But I think it's so funny. Now she's just sitting in the back seat, just kind of roaming around. And the coolest thing about it is rag dolls are cats. Our dogs of the cat world, and she was already sitting on the center console like Swisher used to do with me, like just looking out. So it's really cool. It's, like you said, it kind of makes me feel whole again.
Yeah, so I got to ask, put you on the spot, what's the name?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said, we got to put you on the spot. What's the name? You got to have, like, you got to have some names rolling around in your head for the new cat.
There are some names rolling around that I definitely have for the cat, but nothing has really stuck yet. Obviously, I'm going to throw it out there in the social world, see if anybody has some cute names. I do have some of them. So once I get some names rolling out and some suggestions coming in, maybe I'll let people know what I was thinking of, because you never know. In your head, you're like, oh, I have this, I have this, but then you don't really know anything till you meet the cat. So there's some names, but I'm going to give it a few days, and then hopefully by the end of the weekend, she'll have a name.
Yeah, I think you gotta spend some time with her first, right? I think that's probably about right. You know, kind of get a feel
exactly.
for her personality. Yeah,
exactly. And I just want to spend the time. And obviously, there's going to be some people who are out there saying, you know, it's too soon for you to get a cat. Well, she's not your cat; she's mine, and I feel so happy, so whole. I was only home for about 7 days in the month of October, November, after I left on my trip after Swisher. And those 7 days, it was really quiet and very lonely. And our other cat, Tyson, he's super lonely. So at least he'll be a big brother now.
Yeah. Well, and I know, I don't think it's too soon. I feel like animals, like you, I feel like it leaves this void in your life and you almost have to fill it, you know, with another pet. Like, I don't know why. I know a lot of people, they get so nervous of that void. Like, they always, like, you know, one of your animals starts getting old and, like, a couple of years before they're probably going to die, you get another one just so you have something to replace it. I don't know. Like, animals are weird, you know, like, not weird in that way, but I feel like, yeah, I don't think it's too soon to get one. I think sooner the better, really.
Oh, exactly. So be prepared for numerous photos, videos, everything that you could possibly have. I don't know if you just heard her. She jumps on my shoulder and, like, sits on my shoulder as I'm driving, which is the cutest thing. And, you know, of course, I'm going to get the people like, why are you driving distracted? Well, anyway, she's cute. I love it. She sits on my center console. So it's awesome. But you're absolutely right. There's a few names that are rolling out there, but this has honestly made me so happy, even probably more happy than driving my Jeep. So
nice. So LA Auto Show, you were there over Thanksgiving. I got to tell you, that was a bender of an auto show for you. I guess really the big news, and I'm sure it buzzed around the LA Auto Show, not that it was on display or anything, but you know, this new Tesla truck has been like the buzz for the past couple of weeks. And, you know, they put out some kind of some fun, almost some humorous videos because it was so, you know, leaned and stacked in Tesla's favor to win this pulling thing with the Ford F-150. You know, they've, you know, I think there's the video of him throwing a brick through the glass. It's supposed to be shatterproof. But what was the buzz around LA Auto Show? You got to think the Tesla truck had been kind of buzzing around the show, Tiff.
Yeah, that was definitely buzzing around the show. A lot of people got to see the Baja concept by Volkswagen. It's kind of like an Atlas, and they made it into a Baja truck. And Tanner Faust kind of drives around with that, which is really cool, which people have seen, you know. And they're planning on racing that for 2020 for Baja 1000, which is kind of cool to see something a little bit different. Obviously, the diesel Jeep is out, so that was catching my eye right away. Some other products were out there. Land Rover came out with the Defender 110, which is, you know, their off-roading type of vehicle. Lexus came out with their LC500 convertible. So you have this amazing coupe that is already just a great vehicle in itself, and they put it into a convertible, which is really cool because it has this unique inspirational color called structural blue. And the blue is actually, you know, inspired by the Morpho butterfly that you find in the Amazon, one of the most beautiful butterflies. But when you put that butterfly underneath a microscope, there is actually no blue pigment at all within the wings. It's actually gray. But the way that the pigment and the fragments of light hit our, like, our vision and everything like that, that's how we see a true blue. So it took about 7 years for them to come up with the color, the concept, everything to do this structural blue on a LC500, which in actuality, there is no blue paint at all. It's just the way that our eyes view the true blue. Isn't that kind of cool?
That's rad. That's really rad. I think it's interesting, you know, just the innovation, you know what I mean, that we're seeing. Like, I don't know, it's kind of crazy. I think the auto industry is like one of those things where how many times can you do something? So it's like companies really, really have to think, you know, to innovate. And, you know, I'm kind of stoked on, you know, that. And just, I don't know, a lot of stuff coming out of the auto industry lately, you know. And I, well, you know, it's kind of going back to that Tesla truck, you know, haters are going to hate. I'm not a big fan of it. But you know what? They thought out of the box and brought something that nobody else has done. And, you know, it's getting the lion's share of the media attention right now. So obviously they did something right, right?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, like, obviously, with the Tesla truck coming out, I don't know. I personally think, I never met the guy, but Elon Musk, he kind of knows what to do. It's like you said, there's so many people doing so many of the same type of things moving forward into 2020, 2025, 2030, even with electric vehicles, fully autonomous level 3 type of vehicles that are coming out. But the crazy thing with Tesla is, like, I wonder if they actually really knew that was not going to be bulletproof, because they got more buzz by it shattering than what if it didn't shatter. People are like, okay, cool. You know, we have bulletproof, you know, glass. The military has that. Lincoln Continentals for presidential cars have that. Like, cool. But now they're like, all right, Tesla coming out with this, and then it breaks. That's a bigger buzz than it just actually working. So parts of me feel like they knew exactly what they were doing and setting it up for that little loft of a softball to hit it out of the park. And I think that they did. You know, a lot of people are talking about it. And this day and age with social media and everything being so quick, you've got to either make a big splash or you got to come out on top, one or the other.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, truth be told, it's like, you know, Elon Musk, you go back to that thing, he knows what the hell he's doing. It's like he goes on the Joe Rogan show, and Joe Rogan, one of the most listened to podcasts in the world, but he goes on that show. And, you know, I bet you that was the most downloaded podcast of all of 2019 or last year, simply because what's he do? He goes on Rogan, he takes one simple drag from a joint, and all of a sudden the whole thing goes viral because, oh man, Elon Musk, he's smoking pot with Joe Rogan. You know what I mean? But, like, you don't think that was planned. It wasn't like he just came in and he sat down. No, that was total planned. He did it on purpose. They talked about it beforehand, but it made the thing go viral. And love him or hate him, Elon Musk, the dude knows what the hell he's doing. And we're going to let T-Stone answer that when we return here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver, Tiffany Stone here. And before we went to break, I led into this question for T-Stone on Elon Musk and smoking dope with Joe Rogan and, you know, whether he knows what the hell he's doing or not.
100%. And that's the thing is how decriminalized medical marijuana or marijuana has become in the United States and the entire world even. Let's be honest. Elon Musk is smoking a lot in the grade A medical, the top of the top, because if he wants to come out with the Cybertruck, he had to have smoked something, Jim, in order to be like, you know what? I'm going to take this Aztec, that Pontiac Aztec, throw some other things on there. And you know, it's just really, really funny. But my thing is Elon Musk has been smoking many, many things before. And if you want to pretend that he's not, then you know what? Look the other way, but you're just being ignorant.
That is funny. Yeah, no joke though. You look at that Cybertruck, and I the thing is, it's so damn ugly that it's kind of cool in this weird way. Like, and somebody posted like a picture of a kindergarten drawing of a truck, and I'm like, and how Elon Musk looks just like it, and I'm like, yes, it does. Like you're right. I think you're dead right. Like he's got to be smoking something to come up with these pipe dream ideas that he does. And it's some grade A stuff that nobody else has access to. That's for sure.
I bet you Elon Musk has his own, you know, dispensary or his own grow area where he's just building it. Later on, we'll have like Elon Musk grade A plus medical marijuana that's coming out that can make you fly or something. Who knows what he has. But, I mean, that's the way I was thinking, and that's the way it's going. And, you know, spending the 10, 12 days in L.A. at the show, and obviously Silicon Valley, a lot of startups, a lot of eco-friendly consumers out there that are looking to purchase new vehicles, electric and full electric is the way they want to go. Hybrid now seems to be something of the past, or it's kind of ran its course. Don't get me wrong. There's still many, many companies out there that do not have a hybrid engine or a vehicle. But going forward with the electric, Lexus was even saying by 2025, they will have an electric, fully electric option for every single one of those models. So imagine driving an RCF out there that's fully electric, that has amazing torque capabilities. They were coming out with one of their concept cars, the LF30. It's to showcase the last 30 years of Lexus, where it thinks it's going to go in 2030. And these wheels, there is no transmission, there is no engine. The motor, there is one motor inside of each wheel, so four different motors that are propelling the vehicle forward and backwards. It could either be a front-wheel drive, a rear-wheel drive, or an all-wheel drive, and it's level 3 autonomous. And 536 horsepower, 516 pound-feet of torque, 0 to 60 in 3.8 seconds in a fully electric vehicle. That's where the future is going, and it's crazy.
No, and you know, when I went to Mount Washington Hill Climb with Subaru a couple years ago, there was some electrics that were racing up there, and it's crazy how fast they are. And I know Reese Millen's done a lot of stuff with electrics and things like that. Like, the performance is crazy. I think for consumer applications, the biggest thing is like, you know, a lot of them are they'll go about 100. I think the Tesla, they call it the S model, it can go about 250 miles on a charge. Like, I think the biggest barrier to entry right now is like 250 miles still isn't that long before you got to go and charge up. Where, you know, I bought a new Ford Expedition recently, and the thing will go almost 400 miles on a tank of gas. You know, I think when they get the electrics where it'll go 400-500 miles in between charge, like, you can put in a full day's worth of driving at 500 miles and then charge it overnight. I think that's kind of the magical number. And I think once that happens, I think it's going to be widely adapted and the doors are going to blow open, because there's no real reason, unless you're just a petrol head, you know, to really, you know, buy a gas engine car again.
Well, and that's exactly what we were talking about. Like I was saying, I left my house in the Metro Detroit area, drove up to the Traverse City area. That's over 250 miles. So when I got there to pick up the new kitten, I would have had to sit and charge my vehicle. Sometimes it takes like an hour and some to fully charge. And that's where it's going at. And you have other vehicles like the Toyota Prius Prime, which is a hybrid electric vehicle. And you have 640 miles on that, which is pretty cool, you know, to see something like that. But I think, like what you were saying, that's going to be either the downfall, or it's going to take a little bit for everybody to come up, because you look and we have so many fueling stations already for gasoline and for diesel, and other manufacturers are coming out with different type of fuel cell vehicles that are going to include hydrogen. So when you're having hydrogen in itself to begin with, like, that's cool, because if you're very eco-friendly in that aspect, it's only water vapor that's coming out. So it's really cool to see where the technology is going. They were even talking about having some hydrogen fuel cell semi-trucks. Could you imagine semi-trucks, everything that kind of transports all throughout the country, the U.S., North America, but being on a fuel cell where it's water vapor and they're using hydrogen, and hydrogen is so abundant, you can get hydrogen from anywhere. So it's cool to see, like we said, where technology and the automotive industry is going.
Yeah, science is crazy. It really, really is, you know, and I don't care if you're talking about medical applications or you're talking about automotive, you know, applications and things like that. Like, it's really crazy. And I think, you know, You see throughout time, you know, like every 100 years, this happened. But I see, like, you know, and there's this curve, you know what I mean? And now we're on such a steep curve, like year over year. I mean, technology is doubling, where, you know, it used to take decades for things to double. You know what I mean? Now it's like, it's crazy. You know, and you know, we're doing things now 5 years ago we thought were, you know, crazy. I mean, 20 years ago, who would have thought we'd have these supercomputers called an iPhone in our pockets, you know what I mean, that can do virtually anything? You know, like, to me, it's just crazy. But, you know, circling back full circle, like the automotive industry, I think 10 years from now, a car that we know today is going to be nothing like what we thought, you know what I mean, it would be. I think, really, I don't even think the auto manufacturers know what a car 10 years from now is going to be like, perform like, is going to be, you know?
Well, and that's the crazy thing. And who's to say that Back to the Future cars, you know, what we thought for Back to the Future, wouldn't come around full circle? And it's just, you know, I just did a study with Kelley Blue Book, and they were saying now over 70% of people, when they go purchase a vehicle, they want to know what new technology is in there. As simple as it sounds, the number one most asked question that we were getting this past week that we're there 2 weeks, does it come with Apple CarPlay? That's all people want to know. Apple has just solidified the market so much that they're moving into the automotive department, where people are like, hey, I don't want to buy a car unless it has Apple CarPlay. That's how crazy the technology is becoming. That's how crazy consumers are becoming about having instant gratification, all the technology, all the bells and whistles. It used to be how fast, how much horsepower, how much torque do I have? Now people want to know, does it have Apple CarPlay?
Yeah, well, and true story, you know, it's like, Apple really, with their CarPlay, it's kind of changed the entire market, because it used to be car companies didn't have to develop audio systems. Then it was like to develop Bluetooth systems. They had to develop navigation systems. Now, with Apple CarPlay, you don't even have to have Bluetooth in your car. You don't have to have nav. You don't have to have a stereo, no CD player. Literally, if you've got a USB port and the car can put Apple CarPlay in, all that stuff we have on our phone, it's like, boom, instant plug-in. Within half a second, all your stuff on your phone is there in your car. It's like, yeah, you don't. Apple really has changed the automotive industry, and I don't think they've got the credit they deserve because it actually is made Ford, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, whoever, Lexus, it's made everybody's life a little bit easier, I think, because now Apple can do all the thinking. All they have to do is have a damn USB port in their car.
Exactly, and that's the thing. And now people want to have 2, 3, 4, 5 USB ports where it was cigarette lighters, you know, if people even know them as cigarette lighters.
Don't age us, Tiff.
I know, and people are like, oh, so you mean the thing that I plug in so I can plug in my USB? Yes, that thing that you plug your little cigarette adapter in for your USB, those things everybody wanted to know back in the day, does that have a cigarette lighter? Does that have a cigarette lighter? 25 years later, you know, people are like, okay, how many USB ports does this have? Does it have a heated steering wheel? Does it have heated seats? It's all the little creature comforts that you did not know, by the way. Didn't know that I needed a heating steering wheel, so I have one in Lucifer. But those are the things that you didn't even think that you needed, and now that you do, and it's just crazy. But like you said, I don't think Apple's gotten enough credit for how much influence they've put into the automotive industry as well.
Well, you know, and it's just across the board, you know, and I don't feel bad for any company in the tech space, but it's like, you know, even the smartphone market, you know, it's having an Apple product used to be the hipster thing. And, now it's like it's the industry standard. And now if you've got a non-Apple, like, you know, anything, an Android phone, a Samsung, whatever, now you're the hipster. You know, it's like because there's so few people. And, like, you look at cell phone and everybody goes, oh, this Samsung's so amazing. Like, market share, seriously, it's still peanuts. Like, it may be a good phone, but, like, you and I both know everybody in the motorsports space uses an iPhone. You know, I see the blue bubble on 99% of the people I text. Once in a while, I'll text somebody, it'll be a green bubble, and I'm like, well, who the hell is this guy without an iPhone, you know?
Well, and exactly, and when you're doing stuff for media broadcasting or even athletes, drivers, anybody that's out there, a lot of times it's so much easier just to airdrop something. You know, like I started a YouTube channel just a little bit ago. It's hashtag T-Stone Approved. Has a few videos up there, but I wanted to set up a better thumbnail than what was given the option. So, you know, I go through my phone, I download and I airdrop the actual video to my phone. I go through, watch the video, take a screenshot, take that screenshot and airdrop it back to my Mac, and then I upload it right there. So it makes a lot of things easy. It makes a lot of things streamlined. It makes things work so nicely. And I'm that spoiled, you know, snobby. No, I don't even want to say snobby. Like, I'm that spoiled type of person who has the iPad for work, her iPhone, a Mac, and an Apple Watch.
All right, Tiff. Well, I hate to cut you off there, but you and I could go talk an Apple for quite some time because I have a little bit of everything Apple as well. But we do have to take a short break. We come back, it's going to be Robert Height right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports. The sound of the racetrack. And the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15%. Discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Would like to welcome my guest this week, three-time champion Robert Height, to the show. Robert, man, I got to say, I think it was literally almost a year to the date since we last had you on the show, and I guess we just need to start booking these things for the end of November, beginning of December, because you're kind of making them like clockwork now, man.
Well, I hope you pencil me in next year, too. Heck yes.
Well, that being said,
thanks for having me.
No, welcome back, man. And you know, it's one of those where you had one of those seasons. Me as a radio host, I look at things and I go, you know, who should we get on this week? And you got rolling so much this year that it was like, oh, we'll just get Robert next week. Oh, we'll just get Robert next week, because there gets to be a point where it's like you just kind of expect the wins to come. Me as a fan, and I'm saying that, like, you get in that. You guys were in that mode this year, and it was just, man, the wins just started rolling.
It was a dream season. It's not easy to win even a race in the funny car category in NHRA drag racing, and to get six like we did and start off with a win out in Pomona and lead the points all year, that's pretty impressive. And it wasn't like we had a big advantage, you know, performance wise on the field. Everybody's really tight and closely matched. You know, we just, I think we race smarter and, you know, we were more consistent. And that's really what this game's all about. It's not always, you know, who can be the quickest and fastest. It's consistency and making a lot of good runs in a row.
Well, you know, and I think consistency is it. And, you know, and I got to think, you guys, is it one of those? And I know I've talked with Steve Torrance. We had him on a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about this. But, you know, you get the first win, and then it's like the team. You guys just get in sync, and it's like clockwork, you know what I mean? And you just kind of start rolling, you know what I mean? And then you look back, and you're like, man, we had one hell of a stretch there. But I got to feel like it's one of those. Once you guys get in sync with each other, things just kind of start rolling, right?
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, confidence plays a big part in that. You know, when you are doing well and you're winning races, you just feel that, you know, you're going to win the next one you go to. And, you know, we started the year out with three new crew members, and we had lost three veteran guys that decided to stay home with their families and get off the road. And I was a little nervous about that. But the other veteran guys on my team took the new guys under their wings and really taught them. And I figured there might be a learning period and, you know, we might struggle in the beginning, but we didn't. We hit the ground running, and, you know, this is probably the best team I've ever had. So, and good news is we're staying intact in 2020 as well.
Well, and do you think, you know, we'll talk about your background a bit, but, you know, you talk about new crew members coming in and things like that. You know, you feel like you as a driver, I mean, you've been there, you've done that. You've been the new guy coming into John Force Racing before and started out of the ground floor and worked your way up. But do you feel like you as a driver, having worked in all these various positions up and down the ladder, I mean, when one of these new guys comes in, you kind of know what they're feeling and you know how to welcome them in and you know what's going through their mind. And, you know, do you feel like that's kind of helped you just because you have worked your way all the way from the bottom up to the top?
Without a doubt. I can relate to them. And, you know, I try to get in there and show them that I'll still do the same jobs that I used to and that they're doing and work side by side with them. And I do think that helps, you know, them relate to me more and, you know, the bonding process. It's and I still enjoy it. I love, you know, being around the cars and watching these guys work and sometimes getting my hands dirty. So there's nothing like, you know, Sunday when you're, you know, thrashing between rounds, you know, you have 50 minutes to get it rebuilt and back to the starting line. And that's just, it's the best part of this whole job is being a part of that. And, you know, at the end of the day, when you win a race, it's a team effort, you know, and it's two crew chiefs, seven crew guys and the driver, all, you know, in sync and working together and making it happen. It's a true team effort.
Well, you know, and does part of you ever look back, you know, knowing that, you know, and as we talked about and you talked about kind of working your way up, I mean, you know, three-time champion, you look back on this year, you clip the 50 win mark. I mean, at some point you stop and you look yourself in the mirror and go, man, we've come a long way. Like, how did I actually get here? You know, because it's got to be a little bit humbling when you start looking at these career statistics, you know, and, you know, this kid from small town California.
Without a doubt. You know, you look back on it and sometimes it's kind of a blur. you know, 50 wins, you know, that's number three all time in funny car. And then now that you have three championships, you're on an elite list with, you know, four other guys, and those guys are the biggest names in the sport, you know, Kenny Bernstein, John Force, Don Perdomo, Raymond Beadle, and now me. I just, hard for me to believe that I even fit in with that group. And so it's amazing. And never thought I'd, you know, all I wanted was to get one run, see what it's like, make a run, and now all this. So, and then I look back, like I said, it's kind of a blur. You know, it's been 15 years, but man, a lot's happened in 15 years, and it's a dream come true. I'm the luckiest guy in the world.
Well, and I know, you know, you'd mentioned something in one of your interviews, and I can't remember, you know, where it was, but you had said that, you know, this year was special because, you know, you had all these successes, but you wanted to win one of these championships where the countdown didn't reflect the outcome of the season you guys had, where you were dominant all year long. And I, you know, how important was this year? Because I feel like you guys got that. You got that closure this year, right?
We definitely did. You know, 2007, the first year of the countdown, if they hadn't reset the points, I would have been the season-long champion. So, you know, that one got me. But then in 2009, we didn't come on strong until the countdown. So the countdown saved me and got me a championship there. And 17, we were pretty good all year. But this year, we would have won no matter what, whether there had been a countdown or not. And, you know, I like that. You know, it makes it nerve-wracking for the teams and the drivers, you know, the way they reset the points. And, you know, you go down and then you come to Pomona and it's points and a half. So they're basically guaranteeing it that unless you have a season like Torrance did in 2018, that the championships in all four classes are going to come down to the last day of the season in Pomona. And if you just struggle have any little mechanical malfunction or any problem, you know, a great season is thrown out the window. So it's a lot of pressure. And, you know, being a former crew member, I understand all these things. I know what can happen. I know all the little things, you know, there's just statistics with these cars, you know, probably one out of 20 runs, it's going to drop a cylinder. And sometimes you can't put your finger on why it dropped the cylinder. Well, if we'd have dropped the cylinder Sunday, our year was over. So very, very nerve-wracking. I think it's probably exciting for the fans. But, you know, when NASCAR resets the points, they go back and they give some extra points for wins during the, you know, the regular season. And I think some, you know, our system needs to be tweaked a little bit. And I also am not even sure we need a countdown anymore because, you know, like I said earlier, the competition level in funny car is so tight and so close. The parity is unbelievable. Never been closer. Not sure you even need a countdown, but, anyway, it's, we did get it done, and looking back on it, you know, now you can kind of sit back and enjoy it. But the teams are already back to work and getting ready for 2020.
Well, you know, and that being said, I know, you know, talking about the countdown, you know, you were rolling most of the season. We talked about that. You get in sync, and then for some odd reason, you know, there was a couple of rounds there right towards the end of the season, I think Vegas being one of them. I mean, you guys, momentum wasn't quite in your favor heading into Pomona. So that had to have been just an extra level of pressure on you guys because, you know, you kind of want to be peaking at the end of the season. And for one odd reason or another, you guys, you know, you had a couple of struggles there in the rounds leading up to Pomona.
Yes, we did. And, you know, some of it was the driver. I red lit in Dallas. Okay. And then the next race in Vegas, I got beat on a hole shot. Beckman had a, you know, unconscious light. He double stepped it, but held the brake and got away with it. And I had a good light. You know, I had my average. And so now we have one race left and you just got beat on a hole shot and you red lit. So your confidence level isn't, as a driver, isn't where it exactly should be going into the biggest race of the year, and you only have a small lead. Okay, your points lead isn't what it used to be. A lot of sleepless nights, but you know, we all rose to the occasion when it mattered. And you know, I think honestly now, if I'm ever in this position again, I don't think it'll be quite as nerve-wracking and stressful, because you've been there, you've done it, and just go out and do your job. That's what you have to do.
Well, you know, and I want to go back and talk about John Force Racing as a whole this year. You know, obviously you won the championship, but, you know, talking about Funny Car, how big was it for John to get win number 150 for the organization? And I know you personally, I mean, you were invested into that program. I mean, a good chunk of those wins came when you were, you know, working with John on that car. I mean, how big was that for the organization? Because I know I interviewed John right after it happened, and, you know, it was like a big monkey following him around. And he's like, man, I finally shook that thing off my back, you know. He says, I think the T-shirt people were carrying those things around and the banners for I don't know how long. But, you know, how big was that for the organization and you? I mean, because you were invested into that.
Oh, it's huge. And, you know, as a competitor and a fan of the sport, like I am, it's just mind boggling. You know, John always tries to make me feel good and say, oh, well, you've got a lot of years left. You can catch me. The truth is, no one's ever going to come close to 150. No one is even in his zip code. And, you know, nobody's even in the zip code of half of what he's done. Okay. To get 75 wins is going to be a major milestone for somebody, and I'm not sure that'll ever happen. So it was big for us, and like you said, I was with him for a lot of those wins, and it was just cool to see John, you know, back in his rare form in the winner's circle and, you know, at the top end. And what made it the coolest was, I think if you just watched it on TV, you really saw what John Force is all about with that win. Okay. Gets excited, over the top interview, and then jumps the fence to go in the stands with the fans. Okay. Cause that's why he's here. That's why he loves doing what he does. And he knows that they're the reason he's here. So, it was, that whole thing just showed John Force's personality to a T.
Yeah, and I honestly, I think that's what it was all about. And that was so special for the fans, you know. And, you know, John Force, I grew up watching him, you know, and here he is still doing it, you know. And it was an amazing, I think, moment for the sport and for motorsports in general. But, you know, talking about your guys' dominance, you know, this year, I mean, you know, how do you shift gears into 2020? Because like you said, this is, you know, one of the most stacked funny car fields in history. I mean, I think NHRA in all the divisions, you know, Top Fuel, Funny Car, you name it, it's stacked. But you specifically in Funny Car, I mean, what are you guys doing this offseason? Because you know they're gunning for you.
Oh, that's true. We you know, we can't spend a lot of time to celebrate this championship and enjoy it. It's got to be back to work. You know, those other guys are working harder than ever because they want to get it back from us. We have a big target on our back. And, you know, we can't be complacent. We've really got to get back at it and work hard. And, you know, just know that it's not getting any easier. But honestly, I feel that this was the best year we had with four teams ever. Okay, we had four really good cars all year, and I think they're only going to get better next year. Dave Grubnick and that team on Brittany's car is, that was kind of a learning year for them, but they fought for the championship right down to the last day. You know, if they'd have beat Steve Torrence second round, they'd have been the champs. So they were right there, and I think they're only going to get better. Austin Prock had a great rookie season, and, you know, that team's going to be better. So, you know, the future is bright for John Force Racing, and we all know John can win. You know, he's been doing it for a lot of years, and finishing, you know, at the top all those years. So we know he'll be right there.
Well, appreciate the time, Robert. We got to cut you short. We will be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, wrapping things up here. And, man, what a fun-filled episode. Surprise guest, Mia Chapman, Jesse Owens, dropping by the studio. Great to have them on. Big thanks to T-Stone for calling in from the L.A. Auto Show, or at least on our way home from the L.A. Auto Show. Big thanks to NHRA champs Robert Height and Andrew Hines. Andrew Hines making his debut on the show. Good stuff, good stuff. Thank you guys for tuning in each and every week. Like I said before, I'm headed out to PRI. I got a couple of appearances. I'll be putting some stuff on social media, in the next couple of days. So if you're out at PRI, make sure and swing by. Say hey. Big thanks to Polaris Razor, Four Wheel Parts, General Tire, Vision Wheel, Dirtfish Rally School, Gibson Exhaust, good friends at Rigid Industries, Impact Race Products. They'll be at PRI as well. Our good friends there at Super ATV, making the best damn UTV parts on the planet right there at Super ATV. Good friends at Pro Armor as well. Man, we got some great partners in the show. Couldn't do without them. If you're looking for a coupon code for Dirtfish, you want 15% off, use the coupon code DOWNDIRTYDF. That will get you 15% off at Dirtfish Rally School. So big thanks to them for the continued support of the show. And we got some big news happening for 2020. You just wait. We got some huge news brewing right here on the show. Make sure and subscribe to us on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Follow me at JimBeaver15 on social media. And you guys have a great week. And we see you next time right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.